Welcome back to another episode of the Strange Motion Way podcast. I am your host, Tim Strange, along with my hostess with the mostest,
Carrie Strange.
This one's really amazing. Some great history in this one. That's what we like, the hot rod and custom history. Customs are most dear to my heart. I wish I could just build customs and lead sleds all day long. So this one is really great. The Custom Kemps of America.
KKOA.
With Jerry and Devonna Titus. They started KKOA in the 80s and still running it today.
It was great to have Devonna sit in with us. We recorded this a year and a half ago in Tulsa at the Starbird Show. She really didn't want to get away from their booth, but once we finally got her to commit and come in, I think she really enjoyed it. It was great to have her as part of this podcast.
Yeah, she says a couple of funny things about them starting the date that I thought was hilarious. And a little note on the top of the KKOA. Since that, I got inducted in their Hall of Fame last summer.
You did. It was awesome. We were at the show last July and look forward to going back this July. So Mark, make sure you mark it on your calendars for the KKOA July show, July 26th, 7th, and 8th in Salina, Kansas. Let's hear from Jerry and Devonna Titus. The Strange Motion Way Podcast. Brought to you by Royal Purple Synthetic Oils.
Royal Purple premium synthetic motor oils and high-performance chemicals have been designed to improve performance in all conditions and provide cleaner operation, better mileage, and decreased oil change frequency. That means less oil changes. With products available for your gasoline and diesel engines, Royal Purple is the obvious choice for your performance needs. Drive with Royal Purple, the synthetic expert. So welcome. Here we are with another interview of our podcast. We are currently sitting in a room at the Daryl Starbird Show in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with, I'm going to say, that part of the royalty king and queens of the custom car world, Jerry and Devonna Titus. They're from Kansas area, and that area was a custom hotbed growing up. A lot of people think Southern California, but definitely a custom hotbed. We're going to touch on that. They started the Merc Deuce Reunion in 79, which turned into the Custom Kemps of America, which they still run to this day. They started it. They still run it. They put out the magazine. He has also been inducted in the Starbird National Rod and Custom Car Hall of Fame, and he is on the board. And they still, as I say, run one of the coolest custom car shows every year in Salina, Kansas. They're called the Lead Sled Spectacular. So welcome the Tituses.
Well, thank you. It's very, very big deal for me, to hopefully get it out across the country.
Yep.
Even though we have members in Custom Kemps of America nationwide,
I'd like to go out. Worldwide, basically, you have members. Worldwide.
Oh, yeah, we have international members, too. Yeah. So, yes.
So let's go back a few years, if we can click the clock back a little bit. How did you get started in cars? Did you grow up? Did your family, a little history, were you a troublemaker in high school or what? I just think you were a troublemaker. I don't know why.
Well, I don't know. Actually, when it hit me about customs, but it didn't take me long to figure out when I was in high school that if you wanted to be a big shot in high school, especially in your late years of high school, you had to be one or two things. You had to either be a jock and be in all the sports and everything, or you had to have the coolest car in the parking lot. And I'm not a big, fan. I watch in some of the sports, but no, I'm 100% custom.
That's why we're buddies. 24/7. Not a sports guy either. Yeah.
24/7. And another thing about asset of being a custom guy is if you're dragging Main Street back in the 50s and 60s, the only way you would get that cheerleader driving daddy's car is to have the coolest car.
That's how I got this cheerleader.
That's right.
I was never a cheerleader. I was in Pep Club, which is lower.
But that was the way it is, and back then. And as I've gone through the era of Custom Chemists of America up until today, it's real hard to explain what a custom is. So what I've done is I've looked at the guys that own customs, and I tell them, you know what you are? And they're looking. I said, you're an artist. Mm-hmm. A guy that owns a custom car, even if he don't build it himself or he has somebody build it for him, is an artist. He don't want to have a car parked in his driveway that looks like his neighbors that are stock.
Yep, I agree with that. Yep.
And so a lot of them say, I'm not an artist. I say, yes, you are an artist. Whether you know it or not, you don't want to drive a stock looking car. You want to customize your car. And it's a little strange. I've overdone my part of it. Now I can't even live in a stock house. I customize my house.
That's funny. I have that question on my list here towards the end. So,
But we're artists, and that's all you can say.
Yep.
Because you know, and I know, as we been living our life, that's. Yeah, I've seen artwork, normal artwork, said, not connected with the automobiles, but it's, you know, you may agree and you may not agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's your
That's why when you walk through a car show, they're not all red 32 Fords or candy Brandywine chop 50 Mercs.
No.
This guy sees this guy wants a Mopar or whatever, that's what makes it cool. If it was all the same cars, we'd all be married to the same woman.
That's
so right. We don't blondes, exactly brunettes. Right. It's the same. It's your taste of what you want. So
it's exactly right. See,
he's owned a lot of cars. He's owned a lot of old cars. Mm. Right now, he doesn't have an old custom, but he likes it.
He what? Say that again.
He
I think this interview is over right now. This interview is over right now.
He likes the NCC.
Yeah, I thought you bought. Don't you have one of Eldon's old cars?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we can continue with the interview then. So as you were in high school and cruising, what were you cruising? What was your first car that you modified and were cruising in?
Well, my first car was a 50 Chevy, and I ran it off in a ditch. But it wasn't customized. I was just learning how to drive.
And how old were you?
Oh, I was 16. Time. But as I grew just a little bit older, I started, you know, thinking. But I really didn't think that the cars were what made general public think of you, you know, being a car guy of any kind. I made a mistake. I found Daryl Starbird's Star Custom Shop, and I had my Mercury at that time, 51 Mercury.
So you're saying Daryl was your gateway drug?
Definitely. And
so you grew up around Daryl?
Oh, yeah.
What town was this, so people know?
Wichita, Kansas. Star Custom Shop. In Wichita, there was two custom shops, Kansas Custom and Star Custom. And I found Kansas first, so I thought, man, this is cool. You know, this is the best. And then I found Daryl and his shop. Well, at that time, a guy named Dave Suckey, was working there, and he was driving a 32 Ford sedan to work. So on the weekends, I'd go to Star Custom and work there for Daryl. I was a gopher boy. And any dirty job they had, I had to do. But
I understand that. I've been that chase it guy for Daryl before. Yeah. So real quick before I forget, who owned that first shop? I don't know if I've ever heard of that, the Kansas Customs. Do you remember the guy that owned that?
Sure I do. It was Harold Perry.
Okay.
Was his name. And again, he was a good guy. I liked him. But I really didn't, I'd heard about Star Custom, but I had never been there and seen it.
So
it was in a different part of Wichita.
Probably on the bad side of tracks, right?
Well, Star Custom Shop was on tracks.
Yeah, I knew that, yeah. Dave Stuckey driving a 32, is that the car that ended up being Little Coffin?
Yes, it is. Yeah,
that's very cool.
And you know what? A little story about that. When I was working there at the shop, Dave Stuckey would never say one cuss word in his entire life. I know it. I know him well enough that he was a very, very... I'd see him smash his fingers or something. He'd go, darn, darn, darn. But he would never cuss.
What a unique individual that guy is.
he was a great guy. And I liked David. And Daryl was married at the time. So him and Donna were married. And Daryl had worked 8 to 5, right, at shop. And then, you know, basically our hours at Star Custom. And on Saturday, when I could go down there and work all day because I was out of school, Dave started one time with me. He says, he come to me, he go, Jerry, he says, if you get a break today, why don't you, he drove that 32 Ford to there. He said, if you want to go out there and wash up that my car today, then you and Devonna, I was dating her at the time, and his girlfriend, Sherry, he said, we can go up on Douglas Avenue and drag Douglas. That was the main drag in Wichita. And so I'd go out there and I'd bust my tail, washing it up and cleaning it up and everything. And then the first time he came to me, he just said, at the end of the day, he said, gosh, I got to go do this and do that, right? So it didn't happen.
And, but he got a nice clean car out of you.
Yeah.
Sucker.
And so the next Saturday, it was the same song and dance. And he says, yeah, we could. His girlfriend was Sherry. And I had Devonna, of course. And he said, if you go out there and clean it up today. Okay. So I went out there the second time, cleaned it up again. Same old song and dance at 5 o'clock. Oh, darn, I got to do this. Keep in mind, never cuss. He said, darn, I got to do this and do that. So anyway, on that third time, it was third Saturday. He came to me and I said, it ain't going to happen, Dave. I'm not going to go out there and watch that. And he just started laughing. Like, he really got the best of me.
Or at least you learned after like 2 or 3 instead of like 12 times later. Yeah.
But he was a dear friend, Dave was.
About what year was this when you started hanging around the custom shop?
Mm-hmm. It would have to be, I don't know.
You're still in high school?
Yeah, I was in
high school. That was one of my questions.
Oh, yeah.
When you guys got together. Was it?
So, 1958, I lived across the street from a grocery store where I worked. That's how I met Jerry.
And he was it because of his car?
Well, probably, but it wasn't chopped. It was a green...
Oh, you're a chop top girl. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Then he had another girlfriend same time. So
I
he went back with her. About 6 months later, here he comes. And he had the car chopped. and it was in primer red. And here he comes. So we started dating from then on.
See?
Yeah.
I had a Chevelle, but then I had a lowered pickup truck was my daily driver that we'd know each other from going to stock car race, you know, small town. You know everybody. I knew her boyfriend at the time, which he can't remember names, so his name was Tim also. So, so it's simple that way. But I wrecked my truck, and then I show up for our actual first date. I was driving my mom's car because she lived on a gravel road. I couldn't drive my Chevelle. And she comes to the door. She goes, well, where's your truck at? I go, well, you didn't hear I wrecked it last week. She goes, well, what are we driving? She says, driving my mom's car. And in my mind still, she stood there for like a half hour. And then I go, you still want to go? And she's like, I guess so. She almost didn't go.
I think I asked you, well, are you going to fix your truck?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah, if I didn't, yeah. That's the cars help guys like us get dates. Yeah.
Well, you know, when I had my 51 working, it was chopped. It was in primary.
That was your first chopped car?
Yeah, I didn't have any money to finish painting it and do everything. So when I first went out on a date with Devonna, I wheeled up in my Mercury. What'd your mom say about it?
She said there's something funny looking coming up in the parking lot there where I lived off of an alley. In Wichita, and he couldn't figure out what it was because he was real low. You don't, but anyway,
and you're like, "That's my man, Mama."
Yeah,
that's my man.
Well, then we were married, or going together, and I graduated in 1960, and then he comes up and says we got engaged that year, and he comes up and tells me that he's going to go on a tour with Daryl Starbird for 3 months. Well, my parents were strict. I had to give the ring back. We were no longer engaged.
Oh, wow.
And when he came back, he said, my dad said, if he comes back and you want to go back, fine. And he was gone with Daryl for 3 months. But he would call, you know, check in.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we came back, got married in 1961.
So
the thing, she didn't finish. Please.
We don't have time.
You know who the other one was that was going to go with us? Was Ed Roth.
Yeah.
Ed Roth came into Wichita with his trailer hooked to a new Cadillac. And inside was...
And this was 5960?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It had the Outlaw in there. And Daryl had hooked up with Larry on a series of car shows for 6 weeks. So... They decided, Daryl and Ed, that they would leave out of Wichita. So Ed drove into Wichita, and I knew he was coming because Daryl mentioned it. And I was pretty excited I was going to meet Ed Roth. And so Ed got in town. I was still in school, and Ed was in town, and they... Stucky and Daryl pumped him up to say, Jerry's going to be coming down. Would you act like you're really excited about seeing this?
And if you talk to him right, he'll wash your vehicle for you.
Yeah, right. But when I walked in the door there in the shop, he goes, is this Jerry Titus? Oh, I've been wanting to meet him. I said, I'm looking, you know, in awe of this. Here's my idol. Because Daryl was just my buddy. I mean, he lived there and we, you know. Daryl was older than I am, too.
That was one question I had. So how old are you now?
Well, I'm...
You're 83.
Okay. So there's...
And Daryl's 89.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, that was 6 weeks of traveling.
So that was the tour that you went on, right? Before you got married, you toured with Ed Roth and Daryl Starbird for six weeks.
And Starbird.
I'm sure we could tell a four-hour interview just on those weeks right there. How awesome is that?
See, Daryl was pulling with the Predictor at that time, the first bubble. Daryl was pulling it in a trailer, and Daryl had bought... I was standing around shop there one day, and he said, Jerry, let's run downtown. We went right downtown there to the Buick agency, and Daryl bought a brand new 1959 Buick two-door hard drive. And that day, we drove it off the showroom floor. That's the way Daryl does it. And we drove down to shop. The very next day, he started customizing that and painted it and everything. And so here we got the 59 Buick, and Roth has got the Cadillac with the Outlaw inside. It wasn't the Cadillac one, but it was new. Anyhow, I was the outsider kind of because I would help drive one day. I'd help Ed drive his car, or I'd help. And Daryl, you can't give Daryl steering wheel at night because he goes to sleep while driving.
I think he still does. I don't like to give Daryl a steering wheel in the daylight anymore. So.
But anyway, it was a 6 weeks of my life that I can tell you, I just can't believe.
This is like somebody saying, oh, I was a roadie for the Rolling Stones or somebody like that back then. It's totally that, right?
Yeah. And Ed was such a gentleman. Everybody thought he was a wild riot, right? No, he was a very
We got pitted next to him at an indoor show a couple times. And when he did the Beatnik 2000, we sat up by him before, and it was pretty cool. So
he had a hot dog laying up on the dance.
And still, all these years later, he would do that same thing. Well, truck stop pizza, hot dogs, everything.
He had a hot dog up there on that. And, you know, like I said, every other day I'd change off on who I was going to be driving for. And I noticed a hot dog laying up there. And when we left Wichita, and then we went along, and a couple of the times I changed. And about the third time I was changed to where I was driving for him, I noticed the hot dog was still up there.
Was it getting shorter?
Just shrinkling on the side.
No, it wasn't getting shorter. It was up there all the time. Finally, I thought, I'm going to ask him, what's with the hot dog, Ed? Oh, I bought that in Arizona.
Oh.
I said, okay. That's all he said. Didn't say anything. And so the next time I took over driving for Ed, the hot dog was gone. I don't know if he ate it.
I guarantee he ate it. Because when we were at the show, it was in Davenport, Iowa. He pulled up, he was pulling the Beatnik 2000, the yellow one that he did, you know, the modern version. Exactly. And he had his little, it was like a Mazda vehicle, pulling a little enclosed car trailer, set up his shirts. When he pulled in on setup day, there was hot dogs and pizza on the dash. Every day he'd get something to eat that. Just sitting out in the, and I go, how can you eat that? He goes, I've always done that. He goes, because I've trained my stomach with all the traveling. He goes, I can eat the weirdest foods. And he says, I never get food poisoning. I never get upset stomach because,
He never explained it to me.
Life.
You were probably too scared to ask him questions at that time. I was just like, what is wrong with you?
he was a great, he's a great guy. I'll tell you the only other thing, this last story about Ed Roth was Daryl and Ed were getting paid $500 each for every show that they did for Larry.
That was pretty good money back then.
Yeah, it was. And so, he's just so kind. But what we would do back then, this is the 1960s, Holiday Inns was, you went in there and rented a room, and they were trying to keep as much money to themselves as they could, so we stayed at Holiday Inns. And they only had one bed. It wasn't no king-size bed, it was a bed. So what we decided on was us three would flip a coin and see who would have to sleep with who, and the other one had to sleep on the floor. And so the nights that I had to sleep with Ed, I weighed 150 pounds, and he weighed about 250 pounds at the time. He was a big boy. But he was restless as crap. And he would smash me up against the wall. And then when we'd go into a restaurant, we'd order our food up. And if I didn't eat all my stuff on the deal, he'd go, "Are you going to eat that?" "No, I'm full." He'd just break it off and he'd eat it.
Well, I was saying, oh, he put it on the dash of the vehicle. That's what I was saying. No. Here's some leftover biscuits and gravy for tomorrow.
And by the time we got, oh, three or four shows in a week, 3 weeks, and I told Darrell, I said, I'm sick of it. I'm not going there. I don't want to go any farther. But I was somewhere. I don't remember, Colorado or someplace. But not really. I said it to Darrell, but I didn't mean it. And so we had to pull through. But it was 6 weeks.
You were homesick. You were missing Devonna, weren't you?
Well, yeah, I was missing him. And I don't know. We came. What I'm told you so far is I could write a whole book. Yeah.
You should.
Six weeks.
You should.
Yeah.
Definitely should. Or we can just, every time we see you, we're going to record another interview. Here is week one. The next interview, seriously. And then have somebody take that recording and write a book. That would, yes.
Well, you know, and he was the kindest man. You know, Darrell and I clicked right off. Him and I were right on about everything. That's how we got hooked. In fact, when we hit the last finale, just before Donna passed away, see, Devonna and Donna would go shopping every Thursday. The shit, they'd get together and go shopping. And then on the Friday nights, we would go out for dinner at a casino. And
well, early in the life, we went to a movie back then. We'd
yeah, right.
And then eat. Right. But then later in the years, they moved from Mulvane, Derby, back to Oklahoma. Well, by then we moved to Missouri from Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
But we're an hour and a half away, so we meet every weekend.
So the question all the car people want to know, did you guys drive separate cars or did you have to wash his car so you could go on the double date that Stucky or he's promised you?
Darrell and Donna was raising their family. So then when they were raising the kids.
Yeah.
Do you guys have kids?
Yeah, we have one daughter.
Okay, yeah. And you have a daughter. She comes to the show.
Yeah.
She's a t-shirt fairy.
Yeah.
She does all the
t-shirts. Yeah.
But see, Darrell and Donna's kids are my kids. Really?
Yeah.
Because we've seen them.
So you're to blame for some of that?
Huh?
You're blamed?
No.
Cliff was hassling me last night, so
We didn't see
both. They are my kids.
Debbie was about three or four.
Yeah. Right.
Then we seen all the others.
So you really need to, I'm serious, I'm going to backtrack. You need to put notes down on the 6 week trip. I wrote a story that I've talked to a couple magazines. The very first time I took a bunch of pictures that I spent a week with Darrell working in the shop. It's titled My Week with Darrell Starbird.
Yeah.
So I think that stuff is very interesting. I'm a history buff, and there's a lot of people would buy that story.
Well, I've got a scrapbook. Everything that Darrell's done, I put it in a scrapbook.
People don't know. You don't dare let Darrell drive at night because he goes to sleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
Daytime.
He will.
Donna did a lot of driving when they started.
Yeah. And it was just a habit to him, you know. Yeah, we had one scary incident, but we won't go into
another section.
Okay, so I have some questions here. So you were worried about talking and having stuff to say, and this is seriously what happened. We are now to my question number two.
I know, Jerry.
We've jumped around a little bit. So I want to touch on another great guy that we all miss, your brother Eldon.
Yes.
So Eldon was, I forget again, younger or older?
Oh, he's 8 years younger.
Yeah.
And was he, did he come around the custom shop when you were there? Was he always the annoying little brother, or did he get into cars later?
Eldon Eldon was an artist, too.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Cool.
And when he would be doing his, study and everything, he would be an artist. And he would, in his early days, he would draw pictures of cars.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'd take them up. He knew I liked cars, everything. But when he finally got old enough that he was in high school, and what we would do, Devon and I, we were living in town, Wichita, in a little suburb town there, just south of us. And I'd go get Eldon after he got out of high school, that class, and I'd bring him up to our house for the weekend.
So we would, at that time,
we were building model cars. And Eldon would do whatever.
Which he still did. He was in charge of the model car show at Let's Spectacular. He was still a big model guy his whole life.
He was. And so he, him and I went and got the model for the Voodoo Spider, which was a pretty famous car that Eldon built. That was his first radical. That car was built from nothing. He didn't have none.
He told me there was about this much of an S10 chassis in there someplace or something like that.
Jaguar.
But
Jaguar rear, I think the front's,
But
it's wild.
You know, we built a model first, and then I'd bring the old one up, and we would tie a string onto that model and put it up on our dining room table. And we'd pull it across and look at it. And
the old time.
Young, he couldn't drive yet. But we'd pull it across and we'd look at it. And the old one says, I'll never forget it. He says, someday I'm going to build that car.
Oh, so he built the Voodoo Spider as a model as a little kid.
Yeah, we used to have the model in the museum.
And then how many years later he built the car in real life? 40 years later?
No.
I can't remember when he built it.
It was a while, right?
Yeah.
Because I remember when that car was new, the Voodoo Spider.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
When was that built? Early 2000s?
2005 or 6.
Okay.
Because the next car would have been the Vibersonic he was building.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he had cancer so bad and then passed away, and the guys, his friends, built it for him and finished it.
Yeah. I remember, because I talked to him every once in a while, we'd call and talk.
He passed away in 2008.
And somebody told me, you need to call and talk to him again. And I remember the day I called, his wife says, he can't come to the phone today. And it was either the next day or the day after I heard him pass. So I tried at the end of, we didn't talk often, but every couple months we'd get on the phone, what are you working on? Or in the wintertime and stuff. And then we'd talk. And I really liked him. It was a very big honor at your show one year that when they first did the first Eldon Titus Memorial Award.
Yeah.
I got the first one ever.
You did?
Yep. Yep. Wow. With that copper Buick that we brought. I got the first one.
Well, that
it's actually sitting on our mantle in our living
room.
Yeah. That meant so much to me to get that. I'm getting my hair standing up on my arms right now. I really liked him. I'm not saying he was my favorite Titus, but I really liked your brother. I really liked your brother. This is being recorded, Devonna. This is being recorded.
I always told him, Jerry's a square. I married the wrong guy. They don't like to dance. Awesome.
But to say the least, I had kind of advantage over other people. I had a brother that could build any car I wanted.
Yeah.
And customize.
I mean, it was known. I mean, I'm obviously a little bit younger than you, but I got my uncle's custom magazines and I read the old stuff that, when I wasn't buying magazines and that's why I'm a big history guy. But I would read stuff, the Titus brothers of this car and worked on it. It was really cool. You know, like you say, when you met Ed Roth, when I met the Tituses, I was pretty excited to meet. And me and kind of jumping ahead, but me and some friends were sitting in the hotel lobby last night. And talking about, me and Chris Ryan are like brothers. We met at your show.
He's a good guy.
Chris Carlson. I met that family at your show. I've met so many people the coolest guy I met was, I met Gary. Gary Howard came up to me and introduced himself, and I was just blown away. That, oh my God, I'm meeting Gary Howard. You know, it was like custom guys are my, what's that basketball guy that's got a shoe? Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
all these guys that I'm a pleasure to know and get to talk to are my Michael Jordans, because I wasn't a sports guy. You guys were on my wall and everything like that. So it's really pretty cool. So, so speaking of the, can you talk about some of the cars that you and your brother built? I remember there was a section Buick with fender flares and wire wheels. And you guys had that kind of that, they call that the Wichita look of the fender flares they would air on.
Exactly. See, during his lifetime, Mary, we lived pretty close together, when, even after we were both married, you know, him and his wife were married. So, say the least, but I had an 8-to-5 job, too, at the time.
What were you doing then?
I was working for the park department of Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
And, but... again, you know, him and I and Daryl and him were buddies too. And it's been a good run, you know, between Daryl and the Titus family.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the Titus family is the best way to explain it to us.
Girls,
kids, Christy and everybody here, you know, Christy, I love her.
Yeah. Eldon built, is it a 49 Buick Crimson Skull?
Right, the Raiders. Crimson Skull, made the cover.
And then Jerry bought it from him. You know, and we got rid of it.
Yeah.
He had 50, we had a 54 Buick Eldon painted, customized.
That was sectioned. That's the one I'm remembering. No. Right? Was that one sectioned or no?
No, we didn't have it
sectioned. No, I had a Buick.
And it wasn't even chopped. It was just painted.
No, but it was. It was so bad. Yeah, he
57 DeSoto we had.
You couldn't say it was a mild custom because it wasn't. It was very photographic and everything. Ellen did the right touches on it. He was very good about that.
Our DeSoto.
And
Oldsmobile.
59. Yeah, we had went through 58 our Finn cars, you know. That were,
no, I wish we had them all back.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Eldon built my, I built a kind of a van. What was the red one? It was a Chevy.
Oh, panel truck. It was that panel truck. 48 panel truck.
Yeah. Eldon built it. And it was one of his early ones when he was getting into it. And every time we do a little bit of work on it, he would, we would, crank it up and drive out to Daryl's place, and we'd ask him, is this done already? You know, is this, Eldon wanted to know if Daryl approved of it. And we did that a lot until Eldon just finally came into reality. And he could do anything. He was very, very talented, and he was a good guy. And
what was his last build going to be? Like a rocket car. And he made a drawing and made a model car with great big wings on the back.
He was real good at that model, building the model first, and then he'd build off of that.
That's a good way to do it. I like that idea.
Yeah.
He took a Corvette, and it would be a winner too. Then he got, and he also got married to Tammy, and Tammy was a great gal. She is a great gal, still is. She lives out in Texas. But when Tammy decided that she was going to sell off, she had the Voodoo Spider and the
Vibersonic, too. Yeah.
So when she was going to sell it, I came to Devonna and I said, I mean, we can't really afford it, but I want that Voodoo Spider.
Well, it was still in the museum, and Daryl was clearing out the cars. And that wasn't going to Speedway. You know,
so. And so luckily, you know, me and my banker, we like each other. And I went to him because, you know, I didn't want to cheat her out of it. I didn't want to beat her up. I didn't want nothing. What are you going to take, Kim? So man.
We're not going to say the number on the microphone, but I know what she wanted for that, and they were very, very, very affordable. Yeah. Or what those cars are, yes. Exactly. Yeah.
That's what we did. Kim Bain told Devon, and she said, let's do it.
So where is that car now?
It's in the museum.
Oh, it's in your... Okay. Yeah.
And then Daryl called Jerry, and he said, I loved Eldon, and I thought a lot of him. I want to buy the Bikersonic.
Yeah. And is it in
and he says, I want too? You to it's up say it's your...
Nebraska.
Oh, okay. It's at the speed.
And he decided...
It's to up there. Yeah.
Yeah. During our lesson, they were both put in July. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to kind of go in order, but we jump around a little bit. We'll touch on your museum here at the end. So let's talk about, you started, first was the Merc Deuce reunion show. What made you say, hey, I want to put on a car show? What?
Well.
Because everybody that puts on car shows, I've done it. I've helped. My wife works for a huge company that runs them all over the country now.
Yeah.
It is not for the lighthearted. A lot of people do one and say, I ain't ever doing that again.
It looks so easy to the outside.
Even a local club. I mean, we ran one in high school that she did registration when she was in high school that would get 200 cars. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Just, get the sponsors and get the trophies. So what made you think, I want to do this?
Well, I got educated by Daryl by doing all his shows from the beginning. Actually, I was... Devon and I were in on the very first one he did.
Yeah.
Very first one in Wichita.
Okay.
And her and I were dating at the time, but she helped out too.
And so what, I should probably know this, we talked to Darryl. What year was this, his first show?
It was 59.
Something, yeah.
But I didn't go till 60, first one in 60. But I think he started his first one in 59.
So you helped him right from the start because you were hanging around the show.
Because I was working on weekends when I say I was working there, I didn't get paid, but I didn't care. I wanted to be there.
Yeah.
And so Daryl tolerated.
I think they call that an intern now. When you do the work, you don't really get paid.
All of that. But I learned how to all the tricks and trades of being a customizer.
Yeah.
And but anyway. Yeah, the very first one, Daryl came to me when he was getting ready to promote the show and put it on. He said, it was on Saturday, he says, Jerry, why don't you take that 40 pickup I got? He had a 40 pickup and plaster it with these 8.5 by having deals. And you and Devon drive up and down Douglas tonight. On Saturday.
On the sides of the car.
That's how you promoted it. And that's what we did for the very first
time. I wish you could still promote a car show like that. Now it would be so much more fun, wouldn't it? Instead of, I got to put it here in print. I got to buy an ad. I got to do a radio spot or something.
The interweb.
Yeah, the interweb.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. That is the first one, and Devon and I were involved in that.
Traveled to most of the shows. Donna. I sold tickets for Donna.
Yeah. Donna.
Daryl had to have Jerry help set up. But Albuquerque, where would we go? Albuquerque and Oklahoma City, Tulsa.
So Starboard. It was 20 years then of helping Daryl before you decided to do Merc Deuce Reunion. Almost 20 years. 58 to 79 was the first Merc Deuce Reunion, right?
Well, 79 was definitely. And when I, the reason I'd done the Merc Deuce Reunion was I was reading all the hot rod magazines, and everything. And there really wasn't any true custom magazines out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just came to me. I said, I can put on a show. And, it came to me, I'm sick and tired of the hot rods taking all the ink,
mm-hmm.
and the customs aren't getting no
love. Yeah.
And so next day, when I woke up, I called their office, can I meet you tonight? So it was at a pizza down where he lived. And he said, yeah. And so I went down there. I said, Daryl, I want to do a show dedicated to custom cars. Just, I don't want no other cars. I don't want any other street rods or hot rods, because street rods were real big then. And I said, I feel that the customs are getting treated. And I said, I'd like to do one where I won't let nothing in but a 49, 50, and 51 markers. Because I knew them were the kings of customs. And that's what we did. I took $5,000. That's all I had in savings at the time. And I went to Kansas City, Devon and I. And we put on the first show of Mercury Street. And I set it up that I
was going. And that was Oregon, Kansas City?
Kansas City, Missouri. And I set it up on five-year increments. And on the fifth one, there would be no more. And that's what we did.
I think I attended two of those through the years.
Have you?
Yep.
Well,
because you did one in Davenport, Iowa.
Yes, we did.
That wasn't the last one.
No, I don't think
so. Is that the last
one? It was the last one. Okay. We did one in Holland, Michigan, Des Moines, Iowa, and Wichita.
Yeah, I think I might have went to the Des Moines one with my uncle, maybe. But I think we know definitely because we live close to Davenport. We were at Davenport.
Yeah.
And I think I attended two of those, so that's not too bad. Over five.
Yeah.
Well, you know, after I think it was the second or the third one that we were doing, we realized, you know, we said we changed the name from Mercury's Reunion. We kept that part of it. And then we added And Friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we started accepting the true hot rods, the true hot rods. Not some plastic
but the,
cars.
You also kind of, on the other side, we're on the backside of car, a lot of car events. So it takes so much logistics, people, and everything. So you want to make some money while you're doing this. So if you let everybody else in, you get more entries. And it's it's still, you got to do it. Yeah, I understand.
Like the Merc Douche.
It's like. But after your first year of running the Merc Douche Reunion, and then in 1980, the Custom Kemps of America founded, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And when was the first KKOA branded event? I mean, technically the Merc Douche was, and it was still a KKOA event, but like your first Lead Sled Spectacular. What
1981
year?
1981 in Wichita, Kansas at the Coliseum.
Okay.
Yeah.
We had 385 cars.
And we put a restriction on that date, the age of the cars.
Yeah.
We didn't.
Because we didn't want.
I think it was 1960 we had cutoffs.
Yeah.
Then we went to 64.
You weren't an NCC custom guy then?
No.
No. I did not bring an NCC deal.
We started the late model division.
Yeah.
I can't remember what year that was. Not but we ran it for quite a few years and then.
I know I was out of high school when that happened.
Yeah.
It was late 80s, mid 90s, something like that.
We went to Hannibal, Missouri and went to.
Oh, was it Hannibal, Missouri Lead Sled when they started there?
It was a late model. Late model.
Okay, so I was still in high school because I went to that event with my uncle. Okay. Don't know if I had my driver's license yet at the Hannibal event. I was there. Every year every time we drive through there, what do I have to say?
Yeah.
Right down there, two blocks is where the car is. Because you tell me this every single time. Well, yeah. Me and my great uncle, we came to Hannibal together. Yeah.
I'll be done.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful.
I've been around more than you thought I have. I was a little nugget with no driver's license at a lot of these
events.
He
was still quiet. And
like yeah, I was very quiet and shy back then. Like, yeah.
Quiet and shy.
I was terrible.
Yeah.
You kind of learn after a while. You got to say something, or you.
No, it's our passion, our love. Yeah. If you want me to get up and talk about home remodeling, well, wait, we have a question about that, don't we? Okay, I love mid-century modern homes. If you wanted me to talk about, I don't know,
sports.
I'd just be like,
no.
Yeah.
Frank Lloyd Wright is my other hero. Life.
Yes, I have a book of all the Frank Lloyd Wright. 2 years ago, we toured Falling Waters in Pennsylvania.
Awesome.
And then there's Right. We didn't make it to that one, but we went to a place where they have moved on the farm location. There's three of his houses, and you can tour. We can actually stay over there. No, it's right there. Polymath Park.
Yeah. Is that in Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Not far. It's within 45 minutes of Falling Water.
Yeah.
Which Daryl also is, because I noticed at his house, he's got a couple Frank Lloyd Wright books. But I have the book that, like, I get it out sometimes. Oh, I'm going here because I do race announcing on the weekends. I'm going here. And I look at this book, see if there's a home that I can see.
Yeah.
We have about 10 or 12
books. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, I've toured quite a few of the homes. Yeah.
We've done three homes.
Been 10 years now. When we moved out of Wichita.
22 years.
50-something years. We moved down to the Ozarks with the true hillbillies. But we bought a lake home. And we live there, but we didn't.
So while we're on this, we're going to jump ahead to one of my last questions. Yeah. Let's talk about your house. Yeah.
Okay.
We're now on the mid-century modern Frank Lloyd Wright stuff.
Yeah, there was, we were living there. And
we moved to Castile in 94.
Yeah, Castile was 20 minutes away from our lake home. And we were driving along, and there was this for sale sign. And this house sits up on a bluff right there in the city. I mean, we're talking dead center. There's this beautiful house, flat roof, just like that Frank Lloyd. And I said, do you see that? It's got for sale sign on it. And she said, so we went back, and it was like magic. We'd already toured so many Frank Lloyd houses that it looked like it was built by Frank Lloyd. In fact, we've lived there now how long? 23 years. We've had several people come up to drive. The driver's real long. They'll pull up and they'll get out. And go, we hate to bother you, but is this a Frank Lloyd Wright house? And I'm kind to him, you know. I'll say, sure. No, it's not a Frank Lloyd Wright house, but it was built by an architect. And see, it's built into a rock quarry that was quarried in the 30s. So it's got this massive roll, and it's 5 acres in town.
1957.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen pictures, I think, that you put up for Christmas time.
Yeah.
And, like, you have it filled with the proper furniture and everything, don't you? All the mid-century couches. And
the furniture was my sister and brother-in-law's, and they wanted just to get rid of it because I was
I bought stuff from her grandparents' estate auction.
But it's like a 1975 furniture. Yeah. But it's acrylic on the bottom, and, you know, real...
I'd like for you guys sometime, if you're in our neck of the woods, to come by.
I would love to see
we'll go over and look at that, because it's like walking into history.
Because some of our custom friends, you know, they're into that type stew. And like people that know you, they're like, have you been to the Titus's house? He says you'll absolutely love their place. So,
yeah, ask me.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. It is.
Jerry customized it, though. I mean, when we bought it, it's a fixer up.
Yeah,
nobody fixed it.
Yeah. We have a house. It was built in 75 or 6. It's up on acres up on the top of a hill. Nobody can see it. But you can tell the guy that designed the house, he was a mid-century fan because the living room has a big fireplace, and it's got the post and beam and the floor-to-ceiling windows, and it's got a lot of the new tone ceiling fans and the intercom system and all that stuff in that thing. It's got a lot of that stuff, and it's kind of built like a lot flat in their house that they did in Southern California. It's L-shaped with all sliding windows facing the in-ground pool, and it doesn't fit into the town of Tennessee where we live, but it's we've seen it and fell in love and rented it for 7 years before we talked to Lady and selling it to us, so it's ours now. So.
You see, the Walton family owns Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 25 miles from us. Is the family?
Oh, okay. I got a really good friend that lives in Rogers. So
Rogers. Yeah. Well, that's where basically. Yeah. Well, see, the Waltons went and bought a Frank Lloyd Wright house back east, had it dismantled, and
yeah,
it, all the parts correct, and they brought it down there to Rogers,
mm-hmm.
and that Crystal,
Crystal Bridge is what it's called.
Crystal Bridge is what it's called.
So.
And it's a free museum.
Oh, cool. Oh,
wow. They moved the house there.
And it's more of a garden with its sprinklers.
See, that Polymath Park, that's what, there was a family, well-to-do family, and that's what they did is, two of them are Frank Lloyd Wright houses, or one of them?
Two of them.
And then the other one was designed by one of his students, and they labeled everything, disassembled it, put it on the property, and what undertaking that would be in saving everything.
You know where Tally's restaurant is? Mm-hmm. Well, that flea market right there, there's a Frank Lloyd Wright chair.
Oh, really?
So I said, we got to go look. $19,000 they want on it.
It's still there then, right? You didn't buy it?
No.
Yeah, there's some good stuff, antique places on that road. Yeah. Over there. There's always some really neat stuff.
There on that road there, because we bought a lot of, we're totally 100% contemporary.
Yeah.
You know, with our furniture.
Sometimes it's hard to find contemporary stuff.
Like, yeah.
You know, our daughters ordered a lot of the Frank Lloyd Wright study from the museums and stuff, and that's what she gives him for Christmas.
Sure.
So she spends her money.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you ever do get close, stop by.
Absolutely.
Give us a call.
Yep.
Okay, so let's get back on track. I'll cross that question off. We got that. That was at the end of my list. So, yeah, I knew we'd get to that. The KKOA, at one time you guys ran, you run two events now. Salina, Kansas is your big one. Let's Spectacular. Always the last weekend in July. A great event. And then you do Maggie Valley now, which is the end of August this year.
Yeah.
At one time, you guys did, what was the biggest year? How many events did you do for Custom Camps of America, the most that you ever did?
Well, what did we do?
Valley Hall in Michigan was a big show for us.
You know? I mean, you used to do like four or five shows. Eight shows was your biggest show. What year was that when you did eight?
The 80s, 90s, 80s and 90s.
So you guys hit the ground running in 81, putting on KKOA events, and then blew up pretty quick.
Yeah.
We did a little
bit. And then the association members start keeping us nailed to the wall with our computers, because I was starting to do my magazines to the members. Everything was expanding at that time. That took up our time. Pretty soon we couldn't do all of
it. Well, some was not feasible to do. So the ones that weren't, we dropped.
Yeah.
Plus, I had
and people like again on the business side.
Yeah.
The ground rentals, that's not free. The security, the fencing, the EMTs, all that stuff. It all costs money.
It does.
And even though we live in the middle of America, when I was doing Gettysburg. Mm-hmm. There, I had Blaine Kaufman, who lived there,
mm-hmm.
and he's a key man. You got to have a key man.
Yeah,
right.
If you're producing a car show here and there, you got to have a key person that lives there that you can trust, and they go out and beat the bushes, and they'll run over there and look at the park, and see what it takes in Gettysburg. We had that show built to 1,000 cars.
That was called Sled Scene East.
Yeah, I never made it to that. I always wanted to, but
that
never made it out.
That was a big show. And we still had like 1964 year break on that.
That's right.
Yeah, we did. Right. I did Holland once with my uncle.
Holland was another good show.
First year that we took a car, was it Lansing?
Did Lansing?
It was. I think that was the last year Harry Bradley gave his award in person. But he gave it to Mike Young's Exotica 68 Papa, which I got to see 2 weeks ago at the Register Show. I still love that car. Yeah, but we brought a Pro Street Chop Top Custom and got shot for Custom Rodder there on the grounds and borrowed my dad's buddy's tow vehicle because we didn't have a truck that would make it that far. And then we brought two cars over Pennsylvania. I think it was right the last year before you moved it to Salina. What was that event? It rained most of the weekend.
What?
Or was Ohio? Almost Pennsylvania. It was Ohio.
Was it Mason?
No.
I can't.
Well, we did.
Hamilton.
Yeah.
Michigan, we did.
Was it that?
And Hamilton was a good show.
This would have been, I think it was the last year before you moved to Celina. It would have been, we had the Purple 54.
Oh, it was, you know.
2004, 5, right around there.
We had our dates set for everybody to know, and the city had something going on. They made us change our dates. So that show ended up flopping. That's when we decided.
And it rained the weekend we were there some too, so that hurts too.
We already had a regional scheduled at Celina just to do a small show. And we was coming home. I said, why don't we do a landslide there? Because it's surrounded by cars in Wichita.
Oh, if people listen to this have never been to Celina, Kansas, it is the perfect location for a custom show. The town has a lot of cool old buildings.
Yep, it's a small park.
Yeah.
And of course, this, you've got I-70 there. It going east and west.
Well, don't they say it's the crossroads of America? Don't they really say that?
It is. They even got a little statue out there.
But
where it's the center of the lower 48 states.
I was talking about Travis Scanlon last night, which he also does podcasts, and he was from there. And we were talking. I was like, Celina, it's such a clean town. It's such a clean, clean town.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see trash. Every place you go to, the people are friendly. The restaurants love everybody. I go to 14 events a year, probably, and I do announcing for a bunch of stuff. And you just don't have towns that just throw out the welcome mat. Because, you know, you go to Indianapolis, you go to Detroit, and they don't care if you're there because there's everything. Yes. In Nashville, it's like everything every weekend. You can't get hotels, but Celina appreciates it. You guys do the old school drags at the edge of town, and the city people and the country people come out in droves just to see those arm drop drags.
Yeah.
Yeah, the event is, it's really cool. And it's like, if you've never been to Celina, Kansas, you got to do it. Go to Let's Let's. It's
such a, I have to say, when you were in the little park, I don't know what it was, but you guys had a vendor that was there that had the best ribs I have ever had in my entire life.
They had this big, and they big were trailer, like looked like a 48-foot enclosed car trailer.
Yeah.
And every day he cooked something else. I remember the guy was from Texas, and on Sunday he had ribs, and it's like, I don't want to eat. I'm fussy on my ribs. I want to eat ribs at a car show. And he goes,
Texas ribs.
I'll give you your money back if you don't like them. And they gave us these two slabs, and I asked him at the end, because I'm a country boy. I've ate a lot of beef and pork. What kind of meat is this? It had a different tech. It was still, we still talk about that. We go to a restaurant. I go, how's your rib? She goes, not as good as the ones I had in Celina. That food vendor, you don't know who that was, but you need to get them back. They were the best ribs I have ever had in my entire life.
For a few years, but I don't know when I'm going
to eat. In that food line on Saturday for whatever they had that day was where I met Gary Howard. That food line for that guy. Yeah, it was in that food line. I met Gary Howard.
We met Gary Howard at one of our shows. Well, we met him in Des Moines because he lived in Iowa with his first wife. We met him, and then we did a show in Texas, Waco, Texas. We didn't call it the Lead Sled, though. We always had a different name for different events. That's where we got really good friends with him.
My last conversation with him was he called me because I use a different type of primer than he was using. I use this not old lacquer or urethane. He's a poly primer. And he called me on those. I said, I want to ask you about that primer. I see you using and talked. And I said, hey, man, I got a question. You don't talk for a half hour. He says, how much did you chop Exotica? Because I have a weird custom that I build, and I want to do the same chop on the Impala roof. Yeah. He goes, you know how it is. I just did it till it looked right. So all this time, and then he passed away like within a month after that, or two months, and a couple months after. It was that summer he passed away, and it was the last time I talked to him on the phone. And now I follow the car. It's like, oh, it's here, and I know a buddy, Murray's in Texas, had done some maintenance on it. Well, they did some paint touch-up on because it was flamed by Rod Powell, and my buddy Zane helped wet sand and buff it when they put the flames on it in between two shows. I'm a little history buff on custom stuff of cars I'm in love with. Well, I found out that the guy that helped Rod Powell years ago, he was shining it up and doing paint touch-up and was going to be at the Roadster show, which it was. So I called this Mark, and I go, I want some measurements off of that car. Is it cool? He goes, well, I'll send you whatever you want. I go, can I bring a tape measure to the Roadster show? So I have notes on all the measurements of where the chops that Gary just did it till it's right. I spent 45 minutes in the booth on Sunday morning with my tape measure measuring. I can tell you how much it's chopped, But Gary didn't want that. So I'm not going to put that on the podcast for a public knowledge. It's on my notepad, though, on how much that car's chopped. So, but that's how a custom, the artist, the custom guys, oh, you just do it so it looks right. I don't know. Match the other side, and there we go. Yeah, Gary was a master, definitely.
When we met him, he had that Ford. When we met him, he had that Ford.
Yeah, he did.
54? 56 Ford.
Yeah.
We didn't
you
see.
Gotta, no, I'm growing older. And
we all are.
My memory bank is full.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
see this? I wear slip-on shoes because I learned too many things. I forgot how to tie my shoes. See, there's only so much you learn something new. It pushes something else you learned early on. Yeah.
You are where you are. It helps us.
I watch you doing good. Yeah. And I'm happy that...
And Chris Ryan and you know, the Hall of Famers we've
what
had.
You did for helping move Daryl's everything. He's close to family as you can get.
Terry was cussing him this morning when he wasn't around to defend himself because they've bonded and they pick on me.
I got Daryl to have a burrito for dinner the other night. He's not a Mexican.
You know he's not.
His granddaughter says, oh, you can't.
We never went to Mexico. We went to a Chinese one of them where they do that thing that they're one evening, all of us, we leave there, go out. He said, now let's go eat.
I can hear him say that. No. Yeah.
So we've both been on diets and have lost some weight. Well, this week, we've been with Daryl since Wednesday, and he eats real good food.
Yeah.
But not health food, but like proper eggs, you know, the best eggs you can buy, the best bacon you can buy. Bacon and eggs and like cook breakfast. I've been there enough. I know where the pans are cooking breakfast. I know how everything has to be warm at the same time and how the bacon, you know, very specific person. But we end the night with ice cream. Mm-hmm. You know, what's a cinnamon roll? He threw a fit at Tally's the other day until they found him a cinnamon roll in the back. Yes. I think they were cooking him for the morning. And he goes, I knew I wasn't leaving here until I got one. And she had it. He wasn't with us this morning. And she had donut for breakfast. She goes, it's Daryl's fault. So, but if you know how Daryl is and his feelings,
let him know.
He thanked us the other night for what we did, and he actually told me and Carrie in our truck that he loved us.
Wow.
Daryl said that out loud, and we about cried. I mean, I've been lucky to spend a lot of time with him. I was there last fall, and you came over and had lunch and stayed at the Starboard House. I've seen him in his underwear. I've helped him pack his clothes. You know, I've seen him.
Yeah. And I was attached to Bill Hines, too.
Yeah.
So he calls on a New Year's call about 1 o'clock in the morning. I still have it on my phone. Daryl called on Happy Mother's Day this year, and I've got it saved.
My first time I ever tried talking to Bill Hines was at a KKOA event. I believe it was at the Merc Deuce reunion in Davenport. I know it was at Davenport. If it wasn't there, because you did a Lead Sled Spectacular, it was one, but it was like, she went back to the hotel or something. I was like, I'm going to stay and I'm going to just hang out before the band. You know, you always had the band late at night. So I'm just hanging around with all the custom guys. That's why I love the Lead Sled shows. It's like custom guys, it's me and Chris Ryan are, I'm lucky to know a lot of people. I knew Boyd Connington. He was nice to me. And, you know, I knew Barry Lobeck, and I knew all these people. Like I say, it's almost like people when they say they've shaken the hand of Sinatra. You know, I've shook the hand of all these guys, and I've had breakfast and dinner with these. But like me and Chris Ryan says, like you go to Salina, you just go. It took me 45 minutes to walk in the one day because I just kept going from tent to tent, talking to all these Hall of Famer guys. And then, you know, and hanging out with Jack, and it's just the custom guys are like no other people that they are. Wow, they're just sad. It's like no egos. If you have a question, they'll help you. Custom guys are a different breed in a very good way.
Barry Lobeck had just been Hall of Fame, and it wasn't very long. He passed away, so he wasn't Hall of Famer very long. But we knew him years and years.
Most custom guys respect the other custom. That's the way they are.
Yeah.
They're a clan that stays together.
Yeah.
And they may look at their fellow custom guy's car and think, well, maybe I wouldn't have done it that way. Well, it might not have done it this way. But they he did it his
way. They appreciate the art, the craftsmanship and the art.
And yeah. that's the way they cut the cake.
But when I first tried, I sat underneath the tent with Bill and somebody else, Bill Hines. And then I realized how that he could not hear. And this was in the 90s. So my last funny Bill Hines story was when I got inducted in the Starbird Rod and Custom Hall of Fame, it was in the backyard. My family's there.
We're sitting
in the backyard.
Yeah.
And it's Daryl's doing my induction and giving the speech to do. Yeah. And Bill's phone's ringing. Well, it's so loud, it sounds like a tornado siren's going off. So he could hear it. And he kept hitting silence. And finally, and we have this. Carrie recorded the whole thing on a GoPro. We need to put it up on our YouTube channel. And finally, Bill answers his phone. And you know how he is. So he's screaming. So everybody's laughing. And he's like sitting kind of towards the front. Yeah. And my sister thought he was somebody from... what is that wizard show movie series? I don't know. Some movie series my sister watches. The Hogwarts or something like that. She thought he was like the wizard guy or something like that. But anyway, he answers his phone and he goes, "What?" You know, he's just screaming. "What?" He goes, "I can't talk right now. I'm at Starbird's with all the bigwigs." And I'm like, he's a bigwig, you know, in the custom world, but he's with all the bigwigs. So it's like, and then everybody laughed and went off. But we have that, like, Carrie's recording, Daryl talking, and then I went up. And yeah, it was.
Was it his awesome. Wife, Lova, I'm wondering?
I don't know. He hushed her.
Did you
ever
meet her?
Once. Yeah, I got to know his grandson pretty well.
She was Korean.
Lova was a good girl.
Yeah. I went to a casino there in Solvang. I can't remember what town we were at.
We were in a gambling town.
She wanted to go gambling, and Bill wanted to go to bed. So we took him. He went to bed, and Jerry took me and Lola. And when we was walking in the casino, people was looking at us. Her eyelashes are real long, and she's a little Korean. And I said, I think they think we're two hookers. They're looking at them. She's like, but, yeah. And they've been married a long time.
We're so good.
It's
been a good run for.
He probably had the messiest shop ever, but he did everything.
But we're cat people, so he was a cat person, so he was a good person because he was a cat lover.
Yeah, he is.
I remember his grandson Mitch has been posting, he's been moving all of his stuff, and Mitch built a new place. And last summer it was like, "Hey, cat people, we have, they're ferals, but you know, you can pet some of them here," and you put pictures. Anybody would love one of Bill Hines's cat offsprings. And I was like, "Could we get a Bill Hines cat from California?" She's like, "No, we're not getting a cat from California." And I was like, "Wouldn't that have been cool to have one of Bill Hines's cats?"
Dean was showing us their pictures of the cats.
Really this crazy? Morning at breakfast, they were showing.
We're not cat people. We're car people.
There's a lot of custom people that are cat people.
There's actually a Cat Rodders page where people put shop cats online. I actually got Daryl's Starbird's cat, Bob. You know, he's got a custom cat because it doesn't have a tail. And we were out there in the sun, and he was rolling around on the Batmobile that's sitting out there. So I did a photo shoot with Daryl Starbird's cat.
You know, he never wanted dogs or cats in the house. And Donna always had a dog. He did not like it.
Yeah.
Now, when we go over there, he's got that Bob right in his lap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the first time he goes, you know, he's trying to act tough. And he, I hate cats.
Yeah.
Bob's just hanging on his lap. And okay, we've been talking for over an hour already. And we need to let you get to your booth. But one more thing we need to talk on. The museum in Salina.
Yeah.
I have not been there yet. I totally lost the weekend being at the show last year. I'm going to bring a car down, my 54. I'd like to bring down for a year. I need to do a little touch up. It was at Daryl's Museum for about 4 years, and I'd like to bring it down.
That'd be great.
I know Chris Ryan brought a car, and you keep cars at this museum. So tell me how that started with the museum in Salina. Again, they support that show immensely in that town.
Okay. When we first moved into Salina, which was 2005. That was our first year. And, you know, the first year, this the park director, park board director of parks, came to me and said, Jerry, would you like to move this? Because we were down to 200 cars back east. We went into Salina the first year, jumped to 600 cars. First year.
Awesome.
And so we knew there was something there. And that park director, he really liked us, and he's a nice guy. He's a good guy. He said, Jerry, would you like to move this to our big park? I said, no, no.
How many years were you at the small park?
Two.
Okay.
Two.
Which really wasn't a small park. It was... It was a beautiful park. Yeah.
Comparable to where we're at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, no. I said, I'm not going to move because that's a kiss of death, moving a location of a car. Because I hadn't seen that park.
Right.
And so we went home. We did the show, and we went home. Well, I did. We live in Wichita. And it come around, I don't know whether it came to me or what, but...
He's talking about the museum.
Well, that's what this one getting.
This leads up to it, I think.
It was cold. It was cold.
Devonna's going to step out and go, and we're going to finish with Jerry. We want to thank you for your time.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, I have a person that's in charge of me, which is my wife, Carrie, and you are in charge of Jerry. So she's going to go get to the booth, and we're going to finish up with the museum here. And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I have a full-time job. Two of them.
Yeah, thank you.
Go for it, babe.
Got to get to work.
So, bottom line for that, it was meant to be. That's all I could, best way to explain.
Yeah.
Meant to be. I was flabbergasted that we jumped to 600 cars. That six something. It was, you know, wasn't even 600. But anyhow, we went back to Wichita after that show. And we were living there at the time. And it was a cold, I think either December or January show day. It was a Sunday. And I looked at Devonna and I says, you know what? Let's get in the car and drive back up the Slider. I want to see that park that they're talking about. And that's what we did. And I pulled into the park, and of course in winter, there were no leaves on the trees, the grass was not green like it is. And I parked the car there with a shelter building in it there. And I got out and I walked out in the middle of that grassy area. And I just stood there. And I'm like this kind of guy, but you can believe it if you want to. But it came to me. There is something here that needs to be. And I went back and I home called him. I said, is that deal still on about that park? Yeah, and we're going to give it to you if you want. I said, well, going to try it.
And this park is beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
I know.
I mean,
it's just beautiful.
Yeah, there's room for probably 3,000 cars out there.
Yeah.
And the flower garden is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, just to walk around and get away from the cars for a little bit, the park is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're right about you're smart enough to figure this out. Yeah. And what we would do from that point on for 15 years now, we have a meeting. Me and Devonna and I and our officials, we meet in Salina, and we meet with town hall, all the individual things of makes Salina what it is, and we talk it over, and the city manager's there, after the meetings, I asked him, I said, Have you ever thought about a museum here in Salina, being where you're at with the crossroads of America? I said, this would be an ideal place for a museum. And he said, no, we had never thought about it. So this city manager that was in charge there, every year I'd kind of laughingly kid them, you know, you need this museum, you need this museum. Finally, on about the fifth year, he called me, the city manager. He says, Jerry, you're finally going to get your museum. I said, do what? He said, you're going to get your museum. The state of Kansas has gave $4.5 million to the state city of Salina to build a museum, car museum. They only got one stipulation. It's got to be automotive-related museum. So that means it could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, what? What are you doing? Are you lost? That's quite a...
We're recording a podcast here, and here we have one of Daryl Starbird's grandsons, Bryce.
Right.
That's actually kind of in charge of the show here. So
it's my buddy.
That's why I love recording at shows. All these people come through, and it's like, you're doing a good job, Bryce. You're doing a very good job. You don't have to be quiet. We know you're here now. It's okay. You get in your museum.
So anyway, yeah. But it's going to have to be, the state says it's got to be automotive. Here's the name. Mm-hmm. The Salina Educational Automotive Museum of America.
The mouthful.
That is the one. Well, since then, and I'm on the board too, but we've decided to shortcut it with called garage.
Mm-hmm.
But it's officially that.
Yeah.
And they're happy with it. So what I'm getting at is we took that money the state city did, and they bought this old 1800s train building,
mm-hmm.
all brick. Railroad tracks are still there and everything, and it's still active. And we went and looked at it, and we created a board, more or less, to go by. And I told him, I said, here's what I'm going to do with KKOA. I said, all I want is half of what you spend money on, mm-hmm. to make a museum. I want half for KKOA, and I don't care what you do with your Corvettes and your Model Ts, mm-hmm. and all that crap over there. So we agreed on.
But I think that's what makes this, what I hear makes that museum so special is, yes, it's the KKOA custom, but there's also the other stuff for the other people, exactly. too. And the kids like everything. And the quality on both sides of that museum, I hear, is absolutely amazing. And on the custom side, you get people to donate or not donate, you display, and you leave them for a year.
Yeah.
So it's fresh all the time. People are traveling through. So if you leave a museum that's the same for 10 years, it loses its pop. But if you keep stuff fresh in there, like Chris Ryan's had two cars in there already, hasn't he? Or three? At least two.
Yeah.
The Continental. Now he's got a Caddy in there.
But what it did, they took that. There was actually built, they bought two buildings. They built a building here and a building here. And this here was dirt. It was, you know, railroad, but between them. So when they bought all that land.
Mm-hmm.
And now that there is the lobby,
Okay.
Where you come in to the museum.
Which I hear it's got a lot of like interactive stuff and like touch screen for the kids. And there's like what, like a simulated welder, how you can weld. And like, it's a really classy place, really.
Well, there again, you know, I said, they asked, what do you think about Juris? I don't care what you all do on both sides of that lobby. You could, and you can use the lobby all you want to. Mm-hmm. All I want is that part for the KKOA.
Yeah. You've got your Hall of Fame inductees listed on the wall and everything, don't you?
And really, they don't tell me what to do. I don't own it, but I just let them know, no, you guys don't know what custom is.
Yeah.
Almost. I try to do it kindly. But I don't want no Model T over here.
Right.
I don't want no Corvette mixed with.
You don't even want a Duesenberg over there.
I don't want none of that. But it was surprising they did let us put that Continental over there. But we were full. They had no alternative. Same way with that new one he just built now. But anyway, bottom line, the museum is there, and it's four blocks away from the park.
Which we didn't realize.
Yeah, we could have walked all the way around downtown, and we didn't go to the museum. Or we found it. I think it was closed, or I don't know. But yeah, we didn't make it there. We're going to make it there this year. But.
Yeah.
So we're trying to put a tour together to come to Salina this year, bring some guys and do a road trip and a couple tour stops and bring some more people to the show. It's a great event. I think we're going to let you go and get back to your booth. So I want to thank you. You can check out customkempsofamerica.com for the website for all the information on the Salina Lead Spectacular and Maggie Valley. And I just want to thank you for me and my wife for all you do for the custom car world. Again, I grew up going to KKOA events with my great uncle before I had a driver's license. And that was when we built a custom for ourselves. It's like, I want to go to a KKOA event. And it's great attending them. And thank you for everything you've done for the industry.
Well, thank you for what you're doing, you and your lovely wife. Yes, it's folks like you that can talk for us and get the word out.
Yeah. But we're happy to do it. So we're going to let you get to the booth.
Okay.
And again, signing off, Tim and Carrie with Jerry, and a little bit ago, Devonna Titus. So thank you very much.
Hey, welders. Ready to upgrade your gear and save some serious dough in the process? The Miller Build with Blue Savings and Rebate Program has you covered. Find amazing deals and cashback rebates on a wide range of Miller products, from welders to plasma cutters and everything in between, all backed by our 3-year warranty. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Take advantage of the Miller Build with Blue program now. Visit us online or stop by your nearest Miller distributor today to start saving.
That was another great episode of The Strange Motion Way with the Custom Kemps of America
KKOA founders.
Jerry and Devonna Titus.
It was great having Devonna in there. I wish you guys could have seen her face expressions and how she was always using her hands to stop him from doing things. But no, it was really a great interview. Can't wait to, now that we know what we're doing a little bit more, and get some more video with our new edits that we have coming out.
Yeah, this was done over a year ago.
Yeah, a year and a half ago, I believe.
At the Tulsa Starboard Indoor Show, we just grabbed a room and kind of started interviewing some people. So it was really great to sit down with Jerry and Devonna. Of course, Carrie, if you watch the video of this, put a little memorial. They did lose their daughter since we recorded this.
So what do we have coming up next week, Tim?
Next week is another, I don't use this, a lot of people do their hashtags on social media and they call stuff game changer. Well, this guy was definitely a game changer in the industry. Tom Taylor, designer, journalist. Man, he started the smoothie stuff with Boyd Coddington. He designed Shazoom. just, it's amazing. Pay attention to this next one coming up next week. Towards the end, there's some pretty good information on what he's been trying to do in the industry and hasn't gotten quite handled yet. I'll just leave
that. We recorded this last Sunday, and I can guarantee you there's going to be a take two.
Yeah. He didn't actually want to do it.
A second episode.
It took us a while to get it. Both of us had some personal stuff come up and had to cancel a couple times. And then he got to talking, and we did well over an hour, and we missed some stuff that we're going to go back and do a part two. So tune in next week. Thanks for listening to the Strange Motion Way podcast.